Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey, everyone. Today, I'm joined with my friend, David Hansel. He has been on the podcast. I think this is his fourth time. He's a near-death experiencer. He's a spiritual guide. He's a psychic medium. And David, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Leslie. It's always fun to be back because we always have such a good time talking.
We really do. Everybody loves him. They're always wanting me to bring him back. So, of course, I do what my listeners want. So, David, I know you've been kind of talking on some of your videos on your Substack and even on TikTok about some things you've been seeing within the spiritual community. And I thought I'd give you a little chance to talk about it, and then we'll just keep going. So here's the mic. Go ahead.
Well, yes, that's absolutely correct. I've been doing a lot of writing on Substack. I've been delving into consciousness as my new gig. And so much has been coming to me on that. Yeah. You know, a lot of it came to me after my near death, but it took years. I mean, it really did. It took years to kind of sort it out, to figure out what was what. Yeah. But I have noticed on like TikTok and other social medias, I don't want to just bash TikTok. I mean, all social media. Right. These psychics and gurus and astrologers who say stuff that seems, they're saying it not to help anybody, but for views, it seems like. And people are buying into it. And then I hear the questions I'd run. Is this true? Is this not true? I'm scared now. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, no. And the big one that I heard, a couple of them, TikTok was, I just spoke to you about it a minute ago, and that was somebody who said they're a past life regressionist. And they make all these videos about near death, and she puts people under too and goes back to the death moment. Yeah. And how all of them talked about this is a prison planet. And she said what was so cool about it was in the comment section, how many people said, oh, I don't like this place. I don't want to ever be here. I'm never coming back here again, and so on and so forth. And I thought, why is this lady saying this? Yeah. This is not a prison planet in the least. I mean, by perception, because I always tell somebody, you get to choose your perception. Yeah. You know, it's up to you to figure out what you want to see. But the perception of it, no, it's a false truth. It's not a real truth. There's subjective truth and there's objective truth. Yeah. In this reality, seeing demons, prison planets, astrology, all those things, those are subjective truths. Outside of this realm, there's objective truths, which means most of this is mental in our minds, what we can perceive and how we process information while we're in the physical. But outside of that, it's not like that. I mean, where you go after here or what happens to you after here is also going to be within your mind. It's what, you know, whatever you learn here, whatever you're stuck with here is most likely what you're going to see right away. Yeah. You know, but non-physical reality is basically a reality where you are choosing everything and it's showing up without the lag, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's no need for murder. There's no need for pain, vanity. There's no need for sex or family relationships in the sense that we feel them here. They're just relationships. They're just souls we know we're connected to. It's really beautiful, actually.
Yes. You know? Well, when some people say, and it's striking me differently now, and I think it's just because I'm evolving, because I talk to people like you on the podcast. When people say, I don't want to come back, or I'm for sure not coming back. And I'm thinking, you can't say that here because you are not in your perfect state on the other side with no ego, with no doubt about anything. You have a perfect soul and you are part of your higher soul, whatever. And I do have a question about that in a minute. But my thing is, you can't say, oh, I'm never coming back. And they said, I'm not coming back, so I'm not coming back. I think we would always want to learn. I think we always want the contrast, whether it's specifically on Earth or somewhere else. But I think it's limiting yourself, even if you have a horrible life, saying, I'll never come back. I think that's kind of silly.
Even in my NDE, when I was told in my NDE, you're not going to stay, okay? You're going to go back. Here's the reasons why. I never sat there and said and fought against it. I didn't fight against it. You weren't in that state where you needed to. Let's chalk up these reasons. Let me process them. And right. Yeah. Let's go back. I think too, with the prison planet thing and the going back, there's also the whole, oh my gosh, this one really kills me. people saying, when you die, don't go into the light, because when you go into the light, it's a reincarnation trap. That what? Is the most dumbest. It's the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my entire life. And I know a lot of people are going to get mad at me for saying that, but it really is. You know what? Spirituality, when it starts promoting fear, it's no yes. longer spirituality. No. It's now religion. It's no. The spirituality, it keeps you open and free. It lets you make choices. It lets you see beyond what's really here.
Exactly. You know? And you know, here's the deal. When we die, just like you had your perception when you passed away, and you can explain that to my audience if you would like again, how you felt. But everybody has a specific way they go into the light. I'm using that as a blanket term, but it's not always that way. You may go into the dark void and feel that lovely void, but people say it's not scary. It's beautiful. It's lovely. I loved it. I was not scared. I loved it. And then some people say, no, I walked into a light, or I fell down a tunnel. Heck, I've had a near-death experiencer who said she went to hell. I mean, so, and that was just her perception because of her religion or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, people ask, you know, okay, there really isn't any such place as hell, but can somebody experience hell?
Exactly.
Oh, hell yeah. 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 They can religion. Experience hell. If that's what they needed, if that's what they believe, of course they can experience hell. Yeah. I mean, not even every soul. This is the funny thing. In all mediums, always say, you know, they went into the light and all that. Now, I've had many readings with souls that never, ever mentioned the light at all.
Right.
Some people don't have to see the light. It's like the decompression chamber. That's what I always say. You're like coming up, if you're in the bottom of the ocean and you got to swim up to the top real fast, you can't just do that. You're going to get sick. Something's going to happen.
Right.
So there's a decompression. That's what the light is for most people. And especially, and I mean, I've seen the light, and I've seen the light from the side, you know, is there. And I know that I've had other deaths where I went into the light, because during those deaths, I had a whole different way of thinking.
Wow.
So I needed to see the light in order to do that transition.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's it's not scary. I really want people to know that, especially in this time right now where people, you know, fear sells. And it's kind of like with ghosts and all that. Like, ghosts, are they real? Absolutely. I know they're real because I experienced that as a child. But did anyone ever hurt me? No. Never.
Right. Well, and my thing is too, let's say the near-death experiencer, she experienced hell because it was her religion. Had she really truly just passed over, she may not have experienced that, but that was a teaching lesson because they knew she'd come back.
Exactly. It basically is a teaching moment. I like Bashar. He said something about near-death experiences where they're basically a reset. And that really is. It's actually the best way to put it.
It is.
We can schedule those in our lifetime as well. You know, like maybe mine was scheduled. It's like you got to a certain point. It's like, nope, David, you're messing up here. You said when you messed up, this needed to happen.
Oh, okay. Well, that totally makes sense, because I do think that we give ourselves, maybe within the contract before we come down, exit points. I've heard five. I've heard just the general term exit point. What do you think of those?
Exit points. Yeah. I think if somebody commits suicide, so if anybody's listening to this, nothing bad happened to them.
Right.
Okay. Nothing bad happened to them. Now, you shouldn't do it, and not because it's morally wrong. The reason why you might want to rethink it is because those who did that, sometimes they go right back into another life, right as they're there. They don't even stay on the other side. Some do. It all depends on what that soul needs. And it's the soul who makes the call. There is not some dude up there going, you do this, you do this, you do that.
Right.
It all comes down to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But hell yeah. Some people see the darkness. I tell people, and I didn't tell people in the beginning, but some of my life review and some of the stuff that I saw, I'm like, it wasn't very pleasant.
Right.
And not that it didn't hurt me in any way, because in that position, you are seeing things from a observation point of view. You're observing it.
Right.
Like, I was observing a life that I was having. We'll say past life, even though past lives aren't really past.
Right.
I was looking at a past life, and as I was looking at it, I was listening to me. I was listening to me promise in that life, saying, I can't do this anymore. I'll come back. I just want to come back home. I'll come back and do this later.
Mm.
And then I put myself in that position. So I went from observing myself to being that self for a moment. And when I did that, I was like, I get it.
Yes.
I get it. And that was it. And that's pretty much how it goes. People put too much fear into this whole dying thing, because this whole dying thing is really such a lie. I mean, it has to be like this. Like, we see trees die and everything, because that's just the way this world is set up. This physical reality is set up.
Right.
But yeah, we're so separate from everything. But everything that dies, like when I was walking through the woods the other day and I was looking at all these trees that fell over from the storms that hit here up in towards Asheville. Yes. And I was looking at all them and thinking to myself, I know that you're still alive someplace else. You're still alive and blooming. But this is what I need to see for this lifetime. You know, it's like when we see an animal get hit by a car and we're like, you know, and it dies or it wriggles all over the road. We're like, oh my God, that poor thing. I'm like, that animal was gone well before. You were just seeing the physical body. The physical body can function without the soul.
Yes.
But only for, not for long. You know, maybe somebody had to see an animal get hit by a car to do something for their empathy.
Yeah, exactly,
like, okay, we should not drive fast on cars. Maybe we should rethink about how animals go walk through this place.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone takes one for the team at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, just like you said with going into a review, that's still a learning lesson. It may not be pleasant because you're looking at some of the, well, you're probably looking at two things. You're looking at things that you did that weren't great. Some things might have even been really bad. Some things may have been fantastically, wonderfully good. So, you know, so you're looking at everything.
That's a very good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Not only did I felt how I made others feel being who I was. That kind of sucked. I'm like, oh, because you're kind of sitting there going to yourself, oh, really? I really didn't know I was doing that. That is really good to know. I'm not ever doing that again.
Yes.
And but there's other parts where I was doing it where I'm like, I'm glad that helped you. I'm going to continue to be like that person.
Yes, yes. And see, and you know, whether you came back or not, and obviously you did, but we all still go through those life reviews. And that's how, that's the whole point, guys. When we go back, it's soul growth. That's the whole reason we're here. I mean, and it doesn't matter how many times you have been or you haven't been or whatever. It really truly is every single person, every single soul, I believe, wants soul growth.
Everyone does. And you don't have to do it here. I mean, and there's other versions of Earth that are a lot easier. That people go, I've talked to some souls and who, you know, once I validated who they are and all the good validations came through, and I'll ask them questions like, what's up? Are you going to come back here? You know, and some of them are like, well, I'm already back in another life, or I'm doing something now, or I have a continuation of a life right now. Or they'll say, you know what? I'm in another life right now because I just wanted to take a rest. And this is like a real easy one.
Yes, yes. And you know, yes. And I've also heard when people go back because, you know, just because we're in the year 2025 right now, if I were to die right now, that doesn't mean I won't go back to the 1800s and another life. And, you know, because there's no time on the other side. So I may just hop into a life in the 1400s or the 700s. I don't know. And they're not sequenced like we are. We're only linear here.
Yeah, we only feel linear. We're not really even linear because look at how many times you've done something where you're in the flow and you're like, wow, time just flew by. Time didn't go anywhere. It didn't go anywhere. You're just stayed in the moment. Time, space is another dimension.
Okay.
So, and that's what we're in. So outside of this, you don't have to be in that dimension. Now, let's say when I talk to people from the other side and come in for the loved ones, I've asked them, I said, are you experiencing time right now? And they're like, yeah, while I'm talking to you, so I know how long I can talk for, because I know you have to do something. So they are well aware that I'm still on time.
Oh, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, yeah, I used to always ask, how come you guys know when to leave? And they're like, well, because you look at the clock, and then when that gives us the signal, it's like, okay, their time space is up. So they take off.
Okay.
And I always leave the message for people when I'm done talking. I always tell them they've left me and they're back with you, which when I say that, that means they're no longer in my time space. I'm not going to connect to them anymore. I'm not going to focus on their energy. They are now with you, which they've never left them actually.
Right.
Because I've had, it's cute when people go, can you tell my mom that I said this and that? And I'm like, you just told her.
Exactly.
It's
like with my mom and even my dad. I mean, it's so true. And you know, yes, we are physically separated, but she's more connected to me than she ever was physically. Because guys, I just started talking to her. It doesn't take any special person to do it. I just kept doing it and believing in myself and then started hearing things I know I didn't say or think of. That's how I knew it was her.
Yeah. And I always tell people there, this is like, I call my website, it's called They Whisper to Me. And the reason I call it that is because I had a QHHT session years and years ago where they were asking the entity how I was receiving my information, because I always wondered, how am I getting this information? Yeah. And that entity, which was very quite beautiful, said that he hears the whispers in the wind. And so what happens is, how I put it, is when, like, I'm a conversational mediumship, which is what they call it. Not a lot of people do this. Doris Stokes did it. Some other mediums, we just do it this way. It's conversational, which means I don't just sit here and go, I feel this is your mom. I feel your mom used to work in a car lot. I feel that your mom used to own tools, you know, whatever. You know, that's cool. That's cool to do that. That's bringing through evidence. I get it. I don't do it like that. I just start talking to them. Yes. I talk to them like they're right in front of me, because I know they're there. People go, how do you know when there's a spirit there? Same way you would know if somebody walked into your house. You just know it's there. It's, you know, you can close your eyes and somebody can walk up to you and you can still go, there's somebody standing next to me, isn't there? Because you can feel their energy.
Yes. You
don't even have to hear the breathing or nothing. You can just feel the energy. And that's what I do. People who do this like me, or even like with you with your mom, we've just learned how to be really susceptible to the vibrations around us, no matter how small. I tell everybody, it's like when a fly lands in a spider web. That spider knows. He feels that little tingle. He goes, there's something in here.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, because, you know, it's true, because the feeling is kind of like this. You know how, like, you walk into a room, and I've said this before in the podcast, and somebody's been fighting. And you could feel it. You could feel that negative energy when someone, you know, like two people or even three or four people, you know, or even when you're witnessing it. You know that icky feeling you get when people are just shouting and fighting? It could go either way. But my point is, it's that feeling of, oh, that's that energy. That's changing how I'm observing this. And that's basically what, I mean, it's not negative for us, but it's still an easy way for me to try to explain how we can tune in.
It can be negative for people. I was talking the other day too about, there was a house. Somebody sent me an article. It was the murder house or something, with the axe house.
Oh yeah.
So I guess apparently in that house, there's something that happened. There's some big uproar about the owners, and paranormal people don't want to investigate anymore. If paranormal people are listening to this, I apologize in advance, but listen, if you are going to a house that has a billboard on there that said it's the murder house, and you know something about it, when you see something in there, you are most likely seeing stuff that you are producing yourself with your own psyche. It has nothing to do with anything there. It's, for the most part, demons and all that scary stuff, that's our own energy. That's that own negative energy that we're picking up or we're producing in order to have that experience. Those things actually don't really exist.
Do you think because people keep talking about it and keep saying these things and people keep believing it, it becomes a tulpa?
In a way, I think about a lot of people. I have a friend of mine. They're always talking about tulpas. Tulpas is a little different than that.
Okay.
They studied, I think it was in Tibet or something. Uh-huh. So what they do is they think these thought forms over and over and over. He made up this character who was a little priest or a monk and detailed it and made it up so vigilant.
Yeah.
People started going, who's that new little guy walking around the village?
Okay.
That is a tulpa.
Okay.
Now, was that tulpa actually real? It was visible to other people because their psyche picked up on it. But was it another consciousness in a body?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
It was consciousness projected into a body.
So basically just, you know, took energy and it changed form into this thing that's really not. Yeah, it's almost like,
We actually do that all the time. Okay, I'm walking through the woods right now. So if I were to sit here and very, 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 very strongly believed I was going to see a bear, at some point in my life, I'm going to walk through here and I'm going to see that bear. Because I have brought it up, you know. So is that a tulpa? It's hard to say.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of people would say, is, you know, is Loch Ness Monster a tulpa? No, because not enough people have that strong energy to believe that it's actually there. Like Bigfoot. Bigfoot isn't a tulpa. I really believe that Bigfoot is an interdimensional being.
Do.
I mean,
I
we
do.
Have tons of dimensions right around us. Everything is here. That's why, it's hard to explain to people. Everything's right here, right now. The sky, the moon, the stars, it's actually all in the same exact place we are.
Right.
We just perceive them from another place.
So do you think, like, and I've talked about ghosts before, do you think I think sometimes things linger because it's a residual, and we've talked about this so many times. But I also think they can move into our reality, our dimension, our frequency, and vice versa. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you think that's possible too?
Yeah. Sometimes we're ghosts to other beings.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same way. Sometimes the ghosts you're seeing aren't really even ghosts. You might literally just be seeing through the dimension somehow.
Exactly.
You know, and this is how it was shown to me, and this is how I knew this one. It was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. Mm. I was working at this grocery store, mm-hmm. and I went outside on my break to lunch. Even on my lunch hours, I would go and meditate and look up stuff, and I was just, it's in my life, 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
But I was sitting there, and I was looking out. It was the summer, mm-hmm. and I was looking down towards the back of the building, mm-hmm. and how I see things, or how some people, a lot of people like to see it, it looks like outlines, and they start to show up. When I drive, I see it a lot. I'll look up in the clouds, and I start to see buildings and stuff. And I'm like, where are these coming from? They're like, you're just kind of peering in through a dimension through your perspective. I looked behind that building, and I saw, it looked like it was probably around like 1830s, 1840s maybe.
Really?
I don't know. Where the women had like parasols, whenever that was.
Probably Victorian.
It was in the 1800s.
Era. Yeah, uh-huh.
And I was looking, and I was seeing people walking, and I remember seeing a horse go by, mm-hmm. and I saw this field. And the building actually in front of me wasn't really there. It was covering it up because concentrated, you could see through the building. I could see this land that was there. Anyway, I went in. And the guy who ran the store knew a lot about that store and how it was built there because they, you know, they did the building. And I said, was so-and-so on this property? And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, and back where that railroad track is and that thing, I said, that wasn't there. I said, there used to be a farm here. I said, I saw it. There's a farm here that came by.
Wow.
And he's like, oh, yeah, there was a farm and there was a field and this field was there. And I'm like, aha, I saw it.
Wow.
And I didn't see it like, it wasn't like as clear as day as how I'm looking at stuff now,
yeah.
But it's almost like it kind of in the mind, my eyes were still open, but I could see it. It's kind of like when I see spirits in a house, like when I used to do investigations,
yeah.
They look to me kind of like if you see heat coming up off a road,
yeah.
Like the ripple,
ripple
and things. Yeah. That's what it looks like.
So David, back to curses and demons and all that. So basically, cause I don't believe in demons. I just think it's a negative energy. I just think that's either us or
thought form.
Okay. And you know, people are like, well, how do you explain exorcisms and how do you explain when they go into different languages and you know, when they're doing stuff they can't physically do. I can't explain it. I don't know.
It's kind of funny. It's like, I watched a girl do a video. It was a perfect thing. We put ourselves in our own experiences.
Yes.
So if someone thinks they're going to see demons everywhere they look, of course they are. And I'm not discounting that they're not real. It's kind of
right.
Like when people say, I got scratched. I got threw across the room. I saw this. I got that. Okay. I get it. In your mind, that's real to you. And I do understand that. And I acknowledge it and everything else.
Right.
But I'm saying that's a subjective reality because
yes.
of the fact if it was an objective reality, every scientific thing would be out there going to these houses going, why are these people getting, you know, scratched and thrown across rooms? How can they possibly, you know, we can't pick up anything and throw it 15 feet. We can't pick up another person and throw
right.
across the room.
Right.
You know, what makes them think that somebody that literally has no tangibility or physical force could do it.
Right, exactly.
It's all in mind. And they I think they proved that one. A guy kept getting scratched.
Yeah.
And they like filmed it one time, which was funky. And somebody said, they asked, how can you explain this? It's like, well, I don't know the exact explanation, but it's in the same way we bring sickness to ourselves.
Well,
if we're really, 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 really upset by something,
yes.
you know, that can lead to different diseases. We literally call upon that disease.
Oh.
Same with scratches. We literally call upon it and our body reacts.
I have to agree with you here because we can absolutely make ourselves very sick. And I also think we can heal ourselves. And that's why I go to the Healing Temple all the time, guys, because it's free too.
Yeah. I mean, I was just diagnosed in December. I was sick. And one doctor told me, he said, you have a hiatal hernia that's pushing up under your lungs and it's causing you not being able to breathe.
Oh,
go
wow.
see your regular doctor. I had pneumonia too.
Oh, no.
We got rid of that.
Okay.
And when I got pneumonia again, that was like PTSD for a moment because it was in the same lung that took me out before back in 2015.
Oh.
And I had all my shots for pneumonia. So I sat there asking my people, I'm like, what's up with this?
Yeah, right.
And they're kind of like, you're going to learn something. So right. I'm like, I just took it at that.
It's always a learning experience.
I got two bad doctors who gave me wrong diagnosis. One doctor just goes, you have emphysema.
What?
I'm like, wait, what? Yeah, out of the blue. She's like, you have emphysema. She didn't tell you that? I said, no, he told me I had a hiatal hernia.
Yeah.
Anyway, that sent me to two more hospitals. And that doctor gaslighted me into thinking that my anxiety came back and I needed to see a shrink now. I fell for it for about a week. And I literally, like you did, I talked to my guides. I'm like, do I have this back again? I'm like, I'm just looking for the signs. I'm just going to follow your lead.
Right.
Because I was wondering, this like literally happened overnight, feeling great to all of a sudden going downhill for 2 months. It's pushing on the vagus nerves and it's causing the breathing is causing a physical response.
Yes.
To
yes.
anxiety, not a mental response. Because yes. I kept telling him, I don't have anxiety, dude. I'm like, I have a really good life. I meditate every morning, talk to dead people. I'm pretty good, you know?
Right? Listen,
you know, it's so true. And I'm telling you, you really can create your own reality when it comes to your illnesses and or how you feel. I've had an astrologer recently tell me, oh, you know, watch out this summer, you're going to have an event, or I'm going to tell you exactly when you're going to die. And I was talking to David before we started recording. He was like, that's a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, I believe very much in astrology. Oh, I do. Too. Astrology is real and it's very real. But in following the stars and all that, trust me, I am,
yes.
you know, I am the sky man myself.
Yes.
But, you know, it's not written in stone. These are things, these are tools that we use in the physical existence. Even outside of the physical existence, guess what doesn't exist? Astrology.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. You don't need it. There are no suns or moons or stuff that guides you.
Right.
You're in non-physical.
Exactly. So, and that's the thing. Well, a lot of people were predicting things, you know, that were coming up even with the election, and they were like, oh, we all got it wrong. And I'm like, that's the thing. It's a guide. It's a tool. It's not a guarantee.
No, it's not a guarantee at all. We can perceive whatever we want to perceive. So if you look at, this is a really weird way to think of it, but there are some people that went off in the direction of the opposite of what it is right now.
Yes.
And they're experiencing that in a sense. And right, like I just wrote some articles on Substack, but it's all in how you perceive things. Like no longer, I was just told and I felt, don't pay attention to any of this crap because it doesn't affect you at this moment. And it's true. There isn't one thing happening right now that's affecting me personally. Now it's affecting people that I know.
Mm.
And yes, am I going to do stuff about that and help? Absolutely. But I don't let it absorb into my feelings. The outside world will always tell you how you're going to feel.
Exactly.
It always wants to tell you how to feel.
Exactly.
And you have to just make up your own mind.
Right. Because, you know, we were talking earlier about curses. You know, oh, you've got a curse. Pay me $250 and I'll take that curse off. Well, yeah, you got a curse because now you believe you have a curse. So yeah, you do, because now you believe it. You got it.
Yeah, you believe it. Yeah, you have one because you believe it. I have literally heard people who tell people, oh, you need to contact me because you have a curse. And they'll say, and then, you know, maybe that person, most people are having a crappy time at some point. So when they hear that, they go, I need an outside source to blame it on. So they so they blame it on the curse. And then the person gets them in front and says, oh, you got this happening and this happened to you as a child and all this other stuff. And at that point, the person is going to believe anything you say. Like when people ask me, what was I in a past life? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I can look at somebody, see their personality and ask the question and my brain will form something.
Yeah.
But I always have to ask myself, is my brain forming an image based on the physical person in front of me, or am I getting the image based on the soul in front of me?
Mm.
There are two different things.
Very good point.
Because if somebody's really shy, I could say, you are this or that, or I could turn it around and go, oh, you're really shy now. Well, guess what? You were a big warrior in the other life. And, you know, it's really hard. I always tell somebody, if you get a past life reading, please do me a favor. Make sure they can validate everything they say. Don't just take it as the word.
Right. No, I agree. Because, you know, there's, just like you said, if I were to go to just any psychic that maybe I know is kind of getting people on, you know, just because they want likes or views or whatever, and I just said, hey, I think I'm cursed. Guess what they're going to say to me? Yes, you are. And let me tell you what you need to do. They won't even question it. They would never, they're not the upstanding citizens that I think David and I are, where we'd say, no, that's absolutely wrong. You're not cursed. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you're not cursed. You're just having a bad day.
Yes. Or a bad year or whatever.
Yeah. And the ones who do that, they'll say you're cursed. They come to them for help. And then they'll do that and they'll say, okay, all this stuff is bad. Here's what you have to do, blah, blah, blah. And then you have to come make another appointment for me. And then that's how they keep you coming back. It's kind of like I see the TikTok psychics, and I'm sorry, TikTok psychics, but the ones who I try not to ever do mediumship. Try not to do mediumship on my lives because I don't have enough time to give you the evidence that I want to give you in order to give you the message.
Right.
But sometimes I will have a spirit come in and say, this and that, could you please give this message? And I'm like, no prop, because it was enough, you know?
Right.
But otherwise, a lot of psychics will go, oh, I have the female present here. It's your mom and da, da, da. And I can't quite hear what you're saying. You can book with me and I can, you know, finish doing it.
Right.
Like, no. If you can't do it right now, you can't do it.
Exactly. You know, don't even start that. To me, that's invalidating it, because don't even start that and you know, and then try to get them to book with you. That's so manipulative, and that's terrible. Yeah. So
I even had an AI tell me one time, you go like, if you want to improve your lives, you need to tease people. You need to put out a teaser. I'm like, no. Teasing unethical.
Yes, exactly. It is. It really is. Because the thing is, if you're going on lives and you always do it free, David, that's one thing you always do. Like if somebody would say, hey, I've got a trip coming up to Santa Fe. How's it going to be? That's not mediumship in the way of spiritual mediumship. That's just, hey, it looks fine. You know, that's the kind of stuff you answer, right?
Yeah. And explain to a lot of people, if people ask, like when predictions are wrong or anything, and this isn't a cover up for that, but when somebody asks me, my favorite ones are, does Bob love me or whatever? I'm like, oh, yeah, no, not anymore. Just go.
If you have to.
I don't like to say that, but I mean, when people ask me, hey, what's my next month look like? It's almost like a little bell rings in my head. It's like, oh, I can answer that.
Yeah.
So I'll sit there for a minute and I'll look for their energy, because I always tell people, I got to find your energy for a second.
Yeah.
Then I'll say this and that. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Well, it looks like it's going to be good from where your energy is. When I read, it's from the energy where you are at the moment you ask me that question.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ask me that question tomorrow, when you're feeling way more down about this, I can tell you, you were on your way, but you changed it.
Oh, you have to
keep that same energy going.
Yes.
It's the energy that pushes us. It's not the law of attraction, but it's kind of the law of attraction. We're not actually attracting things to us. What we're actually doing is the law of vibration, where we're just syncing up with that vibration. So if there's a jump rope going back and forth, what you're doing is you're trying to get in the rhythm of the jump rope.
Oh, great analogy. Great analogy. Yes.
That's all you're doing. That's all it is. It's that easy. If you just jump into double dutch and you don't know what the hell you're doing, you're probably going to trip and fall. But if you practice and you stay in that energy, you're going to eventually be able to connect with that energy, and you're going to do it.
Right. See, this is why we have him on, guys. Because he's amazing, just like I told you.
Thank you. But you know, I like to be straightforward. I've been doing that more and more. And I know I'm probably pissing off some people, but you know, I don't care. It's just, it's like this shouldn't be so hard.
No.
You know, like there's laws, like the universal laws, which I study extensively. I mean, those, but most people are just automatically doing them anyway. It's part of who you are anyway.
Right.
So
if
you do something wrong, you'll figure it out. Consequences,
exactly.
You know?
Guys, now David, he does have his own practice. Like he could channel things for you. He can give you spiritual guidance. He's a psychic medium.
My favorite one to do, and I've been telling people on TikTok, I do something that's called the Oracle. That's what I just called it, the Oracle.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, you just, it's like $15 and I give you the answer within 24 hours because it comes so fast when they come in. I have a guide, literally one of my, I'll say guides are one of my helpers, I should say, because guides are there to point you back to yourself. They're not there to give you predictions.
Okay.
Like I was telling you earlier, like Zamir, he doesn't tell me what to do. He literally just says, I'm here to assist you in assisting other people. That's what he's there for. I have a guide who points me back to myself. But in the Oracle, that it comes so fast. And like you can just write like 5 questions or whatever, or a whole scenario. I like literally write out about like a page and a half of material to get back to you. It's really fascinating. I love doing it.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's another thing you can do. So, and you have a website and it's called They Whisper to Me. I'm going to link that in the bio. And where else can they find you, David?
They can also find me on TikTok for now until TikTok goes away.
Yeah.
If enough people start going to my YouTube channel, The Spirit Experience, I'll start doing more stuff on there. I'm trying to balance everything. I'm also have a group on Facebook called The Spirit Experience.
Yes.
I do a podcast every Thursday with my friend Laura Lee called The Thing at the Foot of the Bad Wed. I've been kind of a rebel on that podcast lately because I'm always saying that's fake. This is fake. That's fake. some stuff is real. But me and Laura Lee, she has a different way of looking at things than I do. We always tell people, we're not fighting on here. We're literally giving you two options at least.
But you know, I like that you're not each other's narrative. Like you have, that's the whole reason I do the podcast myself is because I have every kind of person on here that I can think of. And sometimes I don't always agree with them. But a lot of times I do. So, and you know what? Your perception is never going to be exactly the same as mine. It never will be.
No. Yeah, they never will. Oh, also on Substack, I do a lot of my writings in there. You can just find me under David Hansel. Okay. And I'm in the culture and the philosophy section. And I write about all kinds of stuff. I write about consciousness. I write about my near-death experience, how I felt, how feelings go, and all this other fun stuff I put in there. And if people ask me questions in there, I will literally write an article on it. So.
Oh, wow. See, I love that. I love that. And you guys, I'm going to add all of David's information in my show notes because, again, you have been fantastic. And I love these conversations because I don't even understand. We've been on the phone for 45 minutes and it's like, what?
Yeah. And you know, yeah. And like they say, because of the fact we didn't realize the time, we didn't age in this moment.
Oh. Okay,
so we're 45 minutes younger than we were when we started.
Okay, see, we need to stay on the phone forever now.
Yeah, right. That's my, what moisturizer do you use? I don't. I'm just on the phone all day.
Right. David, you're amazing. Thank you again for being on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again and I will see you next week.